If you got your Bibles, open them to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to be there in just a minute, and then we're going to keep it out because we're going to move a couple of places around this morning and get to look. How many of you enjoy an extra hour of rest in church at 10 o'clock? I had several that commented to me that, hey, this is all right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next week, you're going to go to bed on Saturday an hour earlier, and it'll be exactly the same. All right? So just get in bed a little earlier next Saturday. It'll be the same thing. We'll meet right back at 9. But great to have each one of you here. Like I said, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 1 in just a minute. For me, when I went to work for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in about October of 2005, that was a new change for me. All of my adult life, I had served on church staff and had the opportunity to move over and work in a place where really two of the things that I love athletics and things you play with a ball and those kind of things, and then Jesus, and to get to do those two together, it was a great opportunity for me, and God taught me a lot. I hadn't been working with FCA but for just a couple of months, and one of the things that they did at the time, there was a guy that had played quarterback at the University of Oklahoma. His name was Josh Heupel, and he was on the staff at OU, on the football staff, and he was a fan of FCA, and so he did a big Thanksgiving feed there at the Switzer Center in Norman on Thanksgiving Day or the night before Thanksgiving. I can't remember exactly, but somewhere along in there. And we would go up and we gave out turkeys and food and all kinds of things. And it was just a neat opportunity for me to get to be up there. It was in the Switzer Center where the trophies and all the things are. But it was fun to get to serve the people and give out to people food for Thanksgiving. And that was all done through Josh Heupel. And I got to go up there for my very first one. And we were just kind of leading the event, helping people to know where to go and what was next and what they needed to do. And then after they, I can't remember if it was before or after they got food, they could go up a little higher. And a bunch of the OU players were up there. They were a part of it. And they had signed autographs with helmets and all kinds of different things. And so it was just a really neat event. Part of the way through the night, we had been a pretty good way through there, a couple hours maybe. And one of the FCA guys came and got me, who was a new staff guy, and he said, hey, I need you to help me with something. I said, okay. So he says, come with me. He said, I got a couple of football players that need to get out of here, but they need to get in the study hall. And they didn't want them to have to tell people no, they couldn't sign autographs and do all of those things. And so he said, I need you to help them get out, and you kind of run interference for them to get them outside. So I go upstairs with him, and we get two of these football players, and we start down, and we get outside, and I get them through the crowd and get them outside so that they can head for study hall. Now, here's what you need to know. One of those guys went on to play 5 years in the NFL. He played for four or five different teams. He played predominantly for the Chicago Bears. He was a wide receiver. His name was Mark Bradley. Now, he was a wide receiver, but he just looked different than I did. Now, I'm about 35 years old at the time. He's about 20 years old at the time. But there was another guy that I walked out that night, and that guy was about 19. His name was Adrian Peterson. I'm telling you, he was just a monster at 19. Those guys are just different than we are. They're just built different. They look different. They move different. But I could tell for me, just walking out with them, that those guys were just different. I want us to read about a couple of people in the Scriptures today that are just different. It's fascinating when you look at Matthew chapter 1. You don't have to read through it, but if you look from Abraham to David, it says Abraham fathered Isaac, Isaac fathered Jacob, Jacob fathered Judah and his brothers, Judah fathered Perez and Zerah by Tamar, Perez fathered Hezron, Hezron fathered Aram. It goes right on through, and then it goes down from David all the way to the Babylonian exile. It says, then David fathered Solomon by Uriah's wife. Solomon fathered Rehoboam. Rehoboam fathered Abijah. Abijah fathered Asa. Asa fathered Jehoshaphat. Goes right on down through, and then it comes back and it says, it goes through all of the people all the way down till it gets to the end of chapter or verse 16 of that genealogy. In verse 16 it says, and Jacob fathered Joseph, the husband of Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. What I want you to catch out of that is it says, A fathered B, A fathered B, A fathered B, A fathered B, and then it says, and Jacob fathered Joseph, who was married to, or who was married to Mary, who gave birth to Jesus. I think those three are just different. Now, obviously, we know Jesus is different than us because he's perfect. He lived a sinless life. He's the Messiah. But I think Mary and Joseph, there was something about them that was different for us, that's a challenge to us to get to see. And I wanted us to get to look at them a little bit this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. What a story. Now, we know about the birth of Jesus, but sometimes we miss out on the special characters of Mary and Joseph. Now, I want you to catch something this morning. When we look at Joseph and we think about the idea that the angel visits Joseph, I think there's three things that we get to see in these verses about Joseph that ought to be a challenge and an encouragement to each of us men. I think they ought to be a challenge and an encouragement to us. The first one is that he was a righteous man. That he was a guy who wanted to do what God wanted him to do. That he wanted to be who God wanted him to be. It says that he did not want to disgrace her publicly. I would tell you this. I think it gives us an idea that Joseph was a classy guy. I would tell you this, we could use some classy men in our culture today. Just classy guys. Now, I think it's great if you'll love Jesus, but I just think we could use some classy men. I'm amazed at the things I see people write on Facebook. I'm amazed at the things I hear people say. I'm amazed at the things I see people wear sometimes today. We could just use some classy people in our culture. I think Joseph was that kind of guy. It says not only that he didn't want to disgrace her publicly, but that he decided to divorce her in secret. Part of that was certainly to protect her, but part of that was to protect him. Now, their betrothal and engagement and marriage was all different than ours. We think in terms of engagement, you give them a ring, you wait a period of time, you get married. For them, they were chosen most of the time by their mom and dad. The marriage was arranged. And then when they got to a certain age, then they were betrothed to each other for a year. During that year's time, they were considered husband and wife. Even though they did not live together, they were still betrothed to each other, and they were married as husband and wife. That's a different line than our culture. But that's where Mary and Joseph were. And he not only wanted to protect her, but he wanted to protect him. You see, guys, we live in a culture that says, hey, who's number one? I think for us to be righteous people that understand it's God first and others second and us third, that goes against everything our culture teaches, but it says that Joseph was a righteous man. I think also Joseph was a thinking man. It says after he had considered these things, I want you to notice something in the story of Joseph that's kind of fascinating. It goes against what our culture says if we're going to be the people that God wants us to be. But if you look in the whole story of Joseph, Joseph doesn't speak. There's no quotes from Joseph. Joseph just listened. Sometimes for us as men, we're not real good at the listening part. And we got to be better at the listening. Most of us are wired because we've heard it in our culture that, hey, you need to tell your opinion. Give them a piece of your mind. But Joseph didn't do that. Joseph just listened. There's no quotes from Joseph. It says he considered these things. Now, you stop and think about Joseph for a second, for where he's at in the situation that he's been married to Mary for almost a year, and then she turns up pregnant. Certainly, he could have been angry. Certainly, he could have been humiliated. Certainly, he could have been jealous. But it says that after he considered these things, he thought rationally. He thought before he spoke, which is a good thing for all of us to remember. But I think it's interesting that it says, because he will save his people from their sin. The angel said to him, you need to know this Jesus is different. I read something this week as I was studying from Tony Evans. He said this, thinking about Jesus being different. He said, all the problems in this world can be traced back to sin, and the Son of God came to save you from your sins because you couldn't save yourself. Jesus Christ entered the world to identify our sins, to forgive us of our sins, to give us a victory over our sins, and to give us an eternal home free from sin. That truth is what Christmas is all about. If you miss that point, you've missed the point. But the angel says to Joseph, you need to know he's going to save his people from their sins. Now you got to know, if Joseph was a righteous man, or since Joseph was a righteous man, he understood the significance of being saved from your sin. That's not something they would just throw out lightly, especially coming from an angel. But not only was Joseph a righteous man and a thinking man, but I believe he was a loyal man. The scriptures tell us that he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. If our culture could use anything from men today, it would be that we would be faithful to what God has commanded us to do. Not only for how we handle things ourselves between us and Him, but how we lead our families, how we lead our companies, how we have influence in the places where we work and the places where we live. For us to be people of influence. If you think about it, it goes against everything from our culture. Today in our culture, it's all about women leading and being in charge. But that's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures say for us to be people who follow and command and obey, or that obey the commands of the Lord. For us to step up and be those people in our culture, those people of influence. I would say he was loyal in that he followed God's command, number one. I would say the big one was that it says he married her. When Joseph got up from his sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her. Now think of the situation he was in, and he just went right on through with it. Why? Because God says, hey, I got a plan. All the way back to the video we watched this morning. I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I do want you to know this. You can trust the Lord's plan in your life. Follow the commands he gives you. It'll work out. It'll be fine. It will be best if we will follow the Lord's commands. And Joseph did that. But then he not only followed him in a big way to go ahead and marry, and not be so concerned over what others thought, but I think he followed through in a small way, which I would also say is a big way, because I think anytime you follow the Lord and take a step of faith in the Lord's direction, it's always big. But I would say it was maybe a little smaller than marrying her, but it says, and he named him Jesus. Now that's the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, which means the Lord saves. We don't often think about it, but you do realize Joseph could have named him anything he wanted. But he followed the Lord, and he named him the Lord saves. It's significant to us. God blesses those who are faithful. You read throughout the Scriptures, God does not bless the people who are not faithful. It's when you are faithful that then you have the Lord's blessing upon your life. It's when I'm faithful that I have the Lord's hand of blessing upon my life. But Joseph was a righteous man and a thinking man and a loyal man. Flip with me over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary asked the angel, how can this be, since I've not been intimate with a man? And the angel replied to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth, even she has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God. I am the Lord's slave, Mary said. May it be done to me according to your word. And then the angel left her. I'm going to tell you what, in our culture we could sure use some men that were like Joseph. But I'm going to tell you this, in our culture we should sure use some ladies, some women that are like Mary. We could sure use some women that were like Mary that took on the traits and the characteristics that she had. It says the angel visits Mary and it gives us three statements to help us see what a woman looks like whom God uses. Number one, I think, is this. It says that she was a humble woman. It says, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." The scriptures tell us that she was deeply troubled by this statement. Why was she troubled? It was because she understood the magnitude of it. Mary didn't say when the angel said, "You are a favored woman," she didn't go, "Well, you're right. I just felt like all along there was something different about me. There's just something special about me." When he said, "You are going to have a son," she didn't say, "It's about time. Where have you been?" She understood the humility. She was a humble person. It was interesting that for us, when you think about in the scriptures, it talks about Judea and it talks about Jerusalem and it talks about the significance of the temple. But it didn't say that Mary came from any of those places. She wasn't from the city of Jerusalem, the country of Judea. It said that she was from Galilee in a town called Nazareth. If you know your scriptures well, one of the disciples later says, "Is there anything good that comes from Nazareth?" I think she was a humble woman. Not only was she humble, but I believe she was studious. She says, "How can this be?" I don't think she said it in a disbelieving way. I think she said it in an understanding way. Like, "I need you to explain this to me. How's that going to be possible?" In many of our lives, the people who exhibited faith to us, that challenged us to grow in our faith, oftentimes is a woman. My dad is a great man of faith, but my mom, wow. It's that way for a lot of us. The people who had major impacts in our lives of faith were ladies. I think it's interesting that the scriptures say here that she was a person who believed and that she wanted to understand. She was open to the Word of God and she was open to the work of God. I think she was one who would contemplate. She says, "Since I've not been intimate with a man," she's going, "What does this mean for me? How are things going to be different if I follow through with this plan and I'm obedient and all of this comes to fruition? How's that going to be different for me?" But I think she also has to ask the question, what does this mean from me? I think Mary would have a good understanding when the angel speaks to her. If you flip a couple pages over in your Bible, Luke chapter 2, verse 28, it says, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel." His father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. That's a capital H, talking about Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and told his mother Mary, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and rise of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." You see, I think it took a tremendous step of faith for Mary because she knew that in order for her to be the mother of the Messiah, she understood what it meant to be the Messiah and what it was going to be a cost to her as a mom. We often talk about the disciples when Jesus was crucified. Man, they had given so much. They gave of their occupations. They gave of their lives. They gave of their families. They just went and followed Jesus. When Jesus said, "Come follow me," they just left. Think about it, the crucifixion being Mary. You ladies would understand that better than us guys would. But I'm going to tell you, there's just something special about moms. There's a reason when you take one of those guys that's just built different, that's 6'5 and weighs 250 or 280 or 340, and he makes a great play in the NFL and they put the camera on him, what does he always do? ladies are people of faith. And the example of your faith to the people who love you and call you mom, and others who just call you friend or maybe call you wife, your faith to them is spectacular. She was a studious woman in that she grew in her faith and she wanted to have a greater understanding of the things of God. Not only was she a humble woman and a studious woman, but she was a believing woman. I think it's interesting when you get down to the end of the story, after she's met with the angel of the Lord, which, by the way, for us, we just read this sometimes in the Bible and we lose sight of the fact. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever met with the angel of the Lord? But we sometimes just read over that like, well, that's just normal. It doesn't catch our eye. It doesn't catch our ear. We don't think anything about it, that God sent an angel to sit and talk with her. And her response is, I'm the Lord's slave. My life is yours. You use me as you need me. She says, I am the Lord's slave. If you read that back in the Greek, what it really says is, I am the Lord's handmaid. Now here's what you need to know about slaves. There are slaves who do this work, and there are slaves who do this work, and there are slaves who do this work, and then there are handmaids. Mary says, hey, I'm not just a slave of the Lord's. I'm the bottom rung. You just tell me what you need me to do. I'll be that person. Why is it so significant? Because the angel, just one statement above, had said, fear for nothing, for nothing is impossible with God. I think she believed it with all her heart. She understood the science. They don't understand the things about our bodies in the first century that we understand in the 21st century, but I guarantee you she understood this. She understood how someone becomes pregnant. And she knew that she should not be. And yet the angel of the Lord just says to her, nothing will be impossible for God. Let me ask you, when you think in terms of her, having not been intimate with anyone and yet being pregnant, what problem you got's bigger than that? What problem do you have that requires a greater solution than that does? Mary heard the what, but she couldn't see the how. But she trusted the Lord because nothing is impossible with God. She says, may it be done to me according to your word. I'm going to tell you, I don't think she said it with anger and clenched teeth. I don't think she said it as a sign of resignation, like, well, I guess if that's what you say, I guess that's what we'll do. I think she was wholehearted in her obedience. May it be done to me according to your word, with joy and excitement, with anticipation of great things. I want you to know God is looking for the same traits in the followers of Jesus as he was in the parents of Jesus. He's looking for the same traits in us as followers that he was in them as parents. I think I've got a slide for you to get to see. When we think about the traits of men, righteous and thinking and loyal, and women that they'd be humble and studious and believing, I would also tell you those lists are true for each other. Hey, we need men that are humble, studious, believing. We need women that are righteous and thinking, and loyal. It's important for us. Those six traits that we see from those two people, they were just different. That's why God chose them. But I believe we can be those same kind of people. I believe God still uses men and women, boys and girls, in the 21st century, just like he did in the first century. To be used, you will need to be needy. What do I mean by that? I mean that for most of us as Americans, we're pretty self-sufficient. Most of us pretty well take care of the things that we need to take care of. not only from a financial standpoint, but from an intellectual standpoint. We think we can figure out whatever the problem is. But I'm going to tell you, Mary and Joseph were in a place they couldn't figure it out. They just had to faith it out. To be used by God, you'll need to be needy. Mary was most likely very poor. She was definitely uneducated. And she was somewhere between the ages, they tell us, of 12 and 14. Some of you students need to hear that in here. You don't have to wait till you're 30 or 50 or 80 to be used by God. But for Joseph, he just trusted God's guidance and trusted God's direction. To be used, you'll need to be needy. To be used, you'll need to be submissive. Now, we hear that in our culture and we get all wound up because we think we're supposed to be authority figures all the time. But in our relationship with God, we are never the authority figure. If you are ever the authority figure in your relationship with God, you have things upside down. It doesn't work that way. For us to be submissive, you need to have understanding. You need to operate under authority. But then for us to be used, you'll need to be open-minded. The angel said to Mary, "You will be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit." I'm going to be honest with you. I can't even explain overshadowed to you. But I know what it means to be available. For whatever it is that God's calling you to be available, for you to be overshadowed, and for me to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. Who's in authority? Who's submissive in the relationship? When we think about that word overshadowed, you read that in another place in the Scriptures. It was when Jesus was transfigured on the mountain of transfiguration in front of the disciples, or at least in front of Peter and James and John. That transfigured is overshadowed, same word. It's interesting for us, but to know that God is looking for the same traits in the followers of Jesus as He was in the parents of Jesus. For us to be those kind of people that are righteous and humble and needy, thinking and studious and submissive, loyal and believing and open-minded, I would ask you this morning, in your relationship with God, do those describe you? We're going to leave them up this morning for the invitation time. Whether you feel the need to come forward this morning and pray at the altar, or whether you just pray at your seat, there are a lot of lessons for us in the Christmas story. Certainly, there are a lot of lessons for us to learn from Jesus. But I believe as men and women, as boys and girls, I believe there are lessons for us to learn from Joseph and from Mary. The Scriptures say you have not because you ask not. I don't know which one of those you're good at, or which five of those you're good at, or which one you're awful at. But I know this. When I look at that list, I know which one of them's described me. And I know which one of them I could use a little work in. And I bet it's the same for you. So we're going to leave the list up during the invitation. The worship team's going to lead us in song. But I'd like you to take some time and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to overshadow you. I don't know how much improvement you need in one of those or all of those, but I can tell you it doesn't require the drastic change that it did for Mary. Would you this morning pray that prayer and ask God to help you be that person, the same traits that He was looking for in the parents of Jesus, He's looking for in the followers of Jesus as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lesson that we get in the Scriptures this morning of Mary and Joseph. Dear Lord, we know they're your father and mother on earth. But dear Lord, the traits and the characteristics that they had to practice in order to be able to fulfill their calling and your command. Lord, I pray for us that you would help us to fulfill those same traits. Lord, I pray that you would overshadow us in the places where we need it. That your Holy Spirit would transform us into the people that you want us to be, in order that your will would be accomplished in our lives and through our lives. Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody in the building this morning that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I believe with all my heart your Holy Spirit has spoken to them and convicted them this morning to know that today is the day of salvation. I pray that you give them the faith, whether they're someone that's at our church every Sunday or whether they hadn't been here since last Christmas or never before. But I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw them to you today that they might know life eternal and life abundant. Lord, for all the rest of us that have trusted you, I pray that you'd help us to have those same traits and characteristics of Joseph and Mary, that you might use us. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.